What a beautiful way to start our new year service together. Waiting here for you. That is our heart's desire. As we start 2021, we want to be waiting here for him. It's a good posture for the new year. Well, this morning, we're going to be a little bit different. That's the only constant here, is we're different. I'm going to share a little bit for about 15 minutes. Then Judith is going to bring us back to another worship song. And then Chuck's going to share for about 15 minutes. And then we'll conclude with a worship song. And we just want to focus on what the Lord is doing with us this morning. And be aware, let's listen to him and his Holy Spirit. So I've given the title to this 15-minute segment of The Hope of 2021. I ended up there this morning. I've been around a number of different titles. One of my working titles was December the 34th, 2020, because we kind of feel we're there still. But this morning, I just want to touch on two scriptures, Lamentations 3:25 and Romans 15:13. You know, at the end of the year, it's been interesting to listen to all of the commentators and the news and read the tweets and so forth. Yeah, some are saying good riddance to 2020. And they look at 2020 as if it was the worst thing that ever happened to them. And it was an unhappy year. Well, maybe so. And I know for many people, it was a lot of unhappiness. But me, I'm an eternal optimist, as you know, and I don't agree that it's good riddance to 2020. I think we had a good year. You know what? God was in 2020. He didn't abandon us to an annus horribilis. He kept us through it all. And, you know, COVID was not a surprise to God. So I don't look back and say good riddance 2020. I thank the Lord for all that he achieved in us and through us. Some people are not ready to start 2021. And that's why I got to December the 34th, 2020. We're kind of still there working our way through. So I was thinking, well, what is a new year? It always intrigues me when we get to December the 31st and January the 1st every year. It's like something happens and I look out the window and the sun rises just the same and the snow happens just the same. And you think, well, what makes January the 1st such a special day that we all do these different things like New Year's resolutions and wish everyone happy New Year and so on? You know, it doesn't have to be January the 1st. If you're Jewish, you're well into your new year. It happened back in September. If you're Chinese, you've got to wait till February the 12th. So what makes January the 1st so special? You know, maybe it came from the Roman times, a Roman god called Janus, who was a two-faced god, and he looked backwards and he looked forwards, and they established Janus, and January is named after him, and they saw Janus as a transition god. And he looked back into the old year and forward to the new year. So the 1st of Janus, the 1st of January is how we got to that date. Although it wasn't always there, it did move around. The calendar has changed, as you know. We went from the Roman calendar, where January 1st to Janus, Julian calendar, the Gregorian calendar. And during those times, the new year changed for a lot of the Christian world. March the 25th, the Annunciation, was a new year date for some time. December the 25th was a new year date for some time. But it finally came back, and we were pretty much entrenched now with January the 1st. So we say Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everybody. And it's January the 1st. And like something has suddenly changed. Well, it's the same as the day before, except for our appreciation or our understanding of culture. Why don't we say Happy New Month? We could celebrate that 12 times a year.
Yeah.
Instead of waiting till January the 1st. Why don't we do it every week? You know, every Sunday morning, we could come together and say, Happy New Year week. You know, it's a little harder to flow off the tongue. Happy New Week. And we start a new week together. I like that one. I think that's kind of nice. And we do that. What about Happy New Day? You know, we'll get a lot more of those in a year if we had Happy New Day. You know, Happy New Day is a scriptural principle. I like it. And that's my first verse I wanted to look at this morning. You know, Lamentations 3:25. But let's just jump back a few verses first as I read that. 22, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know, every day is a new day. And we can say Happy New Day because new every morning is God's faithfulness, God's compassion, and his love for us. Verse 24, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It's great scripture. It contains many themes that we've had in our worship this morning. You know, the themes are waiting. I will wait for him. It is good to wait quietly. Hoping. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. Trusting. And bowing. You know, all of these things we've been singing and bringing before the Lord. That's our posture as we start 2021, the hope of 2021. Hope seems to be a strong message at the beginning of this year. Maybe because for many, 2020 seemed hopeless. And without God, it was hopeless. So we hear many churches preach on hope, which I think is tremendous. We're hearing many commentators, news broadcasts are talking about the hope of 2021. And sadly, some people are putting their hope in a vaccine. I think that's a good thing. And our hope is in a vaccine and a prevention of the virus. But really, our hope needs to be in God.
Amen.
And you know, there is hope for 2021, and our hope is in God. Amen. I had this thought, if the church cannot live in hope, and the church cannot demonstrate hope, and the church cannot give hope, then we are not the church. Let me say that again. If the church cannot live in hope, and the church cannot demonstrate hope, and the church cannot give hope, then we are not the church. My other verse for this morning, Romans 15 and verse 13, and I love it in the Passion Translation. It says, now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope. Where does my hope come from? God is the inspiration. God is the fountain of hope. Now, may he fill you to overflowing. I love it when Paul writes these prayers about being filled to overflowing. You know, he doesn't just ask for us before the Lord that we would be topped off, full up. He wants us to be overflowing. God wants us to be overflowing. But what with? Well, overflowing with uncontainable joy. How's your joy doing? Is it full up? Is it overflowing? Is it half full? Maybe it's a little low. But Paul here is praying, this our prayer, is that the God of hope, the fountain of hope, will fill you with uncontainable joy. That means it breaks out. It goes everywhere. It cannot be contained. And two things. I love it when you get a package. So we get joy and perfect peace. Lots of people need peace in these times. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's hopelessness. We need uncontainable joy and we need perfect peace. And that happens as you trust in him. And he goes on to say, and may the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's not my strength. It's not what I do. It's the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his superabundance. Those are great words. Superabundance until you radiate with hope. Just think about that for a moment. Radiate with hope. That prayer is a beautiful way to start 2021 with the purpose of radiating hope, hope to the hopeless. So as we transitioned at the end of December, you know, lots of people were saying goodbye to 2020, good riddance 2020. That was a bad year. It's all done. It's finished. You know, to me, that was a little bit like taking your raincoat off in the middle of a torrential storm. You know, it hasn't stopped raining. The bad year, well, maybe on the calendar has finished, but we're still in it. It's still happening. We need the same hope we had last year as we transition into this year. Or as the Brits would say, keep calm and carry on. let's push into 2021. I believe this year will be a year of change. Kingdom change. You know, we can read all the self-help books that tell us how to change. Nothing wrong with all that stuff. We can do things in our lives that help for better people. We can educate ourselves. We can, you know, take on new things and we can change. But God wants kingdom change. And we're in the kingdom. We live in the kingdom. That's the change that he wants. Maybe you can't see where change is needed. Or maybe you will never innovate change. But you can learn to recognize when it comes and embrace it. Look for the kingdom change that God and the Holy Spirit is bringing. Look for what he's doing and embrace his change. Abraham Heschel, who was a Jewish theologian, he noted the principle is knowing what we see rather than seeing what we know. You know, if we look for what we know, we'll only see what we know. Let's look for knowing what we're seeing. Let's understand what we're seeing. Let's look to see what God is doing and then know that rather than holding back and looking for our normal, what we expect. Let's expect different things and great things. So to conclude, go and radiate. Next time, I'm going to pick up on some of these thoughts and share more about what I believe the Lord is saying and hope, I think, is key for us this year. It's key for the world. Let's hang in there and remember, now may God, our inspiration, our fountain of hope, fill us to overflowing with uncontainable joy and with perfect peace as we trust in you, Lord God. Yes. And may the power of your Holy Spirit continually surround our lives with his superabundance. Yes, Jesus. until we radiate hope to a hopeless world. Amen. Amen.
As you were sharing, Grandma, I was just thinking that that as I'm hearing about people saying that, you know, about last year being the worst year, I got to give you a testimony that it was the best year I had ever experienced in my entire life. And I just want to share that. And it's all going to the Lord, because I tell you, if I think about that year, I think that there are probably millions, I don't know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, people that gave themselves to the Lord this year. Like, really think about that. There are people that actually said to Jesus, I surrender my life to you in this world. I may not know them. I've heard testimonies of them, but that happened this year. And that's beautiful. There are people that praise the Lord that didn't. There are miracles that the Lord did in my life and other people's lives all over the world every day in ways that we could see or not see. But the bottom line is, he did them. And that's beautiful. There are people in my family that are some of them that have gone to their knees and asked for help for the Lord. That's miracles. There are people in my family saying things that they've never said about the Lord. That's miracles. And on, and I could spend hours telling you about all kinds of things. So for me, I see that this was the best year I had ever experienced. And I can't imagine that if this is the best year, what the Lord's going to do this year, my word is victory. And I'm telling you, what I see coming this year is going to be even better, because all he does is better. So sit back and get ready for a great movie for this year, because it's going to be better than last year. So yeah. I can tell you, there is not 1 minute that goes by where I feel that this was a waste. This year was beautiful, and there was miracles beyond miracles everywhere. So.
Amen. Amen.
I want to just pray a blessing on Corey and on the gift that God's given him, one of the gifts, and we're not going to go into that right now, but he's given him lots of gifts, but he's given all of us gifts. So, Father, thank you for the gifts that you've placed in our lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that they were never intended to go to waste, Lord. They were never intended to be squandered, Lord. They were intended to be used fully, empowered by you, Lord, to affect a world needing your love, needing your care, needing your attention. So we bless Corey, we bless the gifts that you put in him, and you're the Father of lights, and every good and perfect gift is bestowed from you. And so, Lord, let them come even now, Lord, even now upon your body, even now, Lord, upon your church, Lord. Let the gifts of God be released, Lord, upon us, Lord, we pray. Let them come even today, Lord, new gifts from the Father of lights, Lord, every good and perfect gift, let it come. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Okay, I've started my stopwatch. Graham, you did really well, man. Can I have your 2 extra minutes? I tell you, it forces us to keep things tight. Kurt, can you hear me okay? I'm sort of I'm projecting my voice a little bit. I normally do that. I used to preach in a graveyard once a year until Valerie read a scripture that talked about them sitting among the graves. And she really put a damper on things, because the Baptist church and all the other churches would join together and they'd have this service in the graveyard, and they'd raise money, you know, and I had to say I couldn't go, you know. Anyway, that was sort of like, in retrospect, I'm not sure about these decisions, but I used to love preaching outdoors because I could project my voice and I would just be, I'd be loud and what's that? Not too many givers in the graveyard. Yeah. Graham, a great job, man. Radiate with hope. What a beautiful word. I like anything that's got anything that's like fragrance in it, you know. Radiates, another one of those, you know, like that. And I'm a fan of LED lights and you know, radiating but to radiate with hope. Wow, that's powerful. I've heard a number of New Year's resolutions being made. One guy said he's going to smoke more cigars this year. Well, that's not my New Year's resolution. I'm not going to smoke more cigars. I just did that one. You heard my story there. But I heard another lady, and she had this beautiful smile. And she said, my New Year's resolution is I'm going to smile more this year. And I thought, wow, that's beautiful. I want to take that one. I want to do that one too. And I was on the trail yesterday. And you know, my trail experience is always mixed. But yesterday, because my heart is starting to grieve even more. And I pray for people because I find you humanity, you know, that doesn't choose to connect with humanity is has sat in my heart. And but my first experience on the trail was this group of people came by me. And this one person smiled back at me as I smiled. And I tell you, talk about radiate. And I just, that made my day, you know, that just, it really did. It made my walk anyway, let me put it that way. And I want to say this morning on this New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, New Year's, New Year, whatever you want to call it, this new week, I want to say, you know, smile, you know, like just, you know, use what God has given you to radiate and to touch others, as Graham has been talking about. Don't underestimate the power of your smile, you know, and a smile comes from somewhere, you know, and so I want to talk this morning. The smile comes from deep within. It's got to come from within. It's got to come from that inner working of the Lord in our lives that actually produces something worth radiating. And so the title of my little message this morning is entitled Essential Ingredient for Success, or Essential Ingredient for Finishing Well, or real simple, Essential Ingredient. Okay, so we'll just call it an Essential Ingredient. But I also like calling it as an Essential Ingredient for Finishing Well, because I have grieved along with many of you at friends that have fallen away, friends that have you know, as Paul might have put it, you know, shipwrecked their faith, you know, and they've gone, and my heart has prayed often for these people, as yours has as well. And so this is a prescription. It's an ingredient. It's the most important ingredient for finishing the race well. We've got to finish this race well. I was in a desert in Peru, and I've told you this story, but it illustrates, and I'm going to use a few stories this morning that you'll remember the stories, and they'll help you to remember the biblical concept, the biblical truth we're going to talk about. But when I was in Peru, and I've since read about this desert in Peru that covers hundreds and hundreds of miles along the Pacific coast, and I was with Youth with a Mission, and I was on the bus, and I was next to the window, and my head was leaned against the window, and it was midnight or the wee hours of the morning. And I looked up, and the sky was ablaze like I've never seen the sky ablaze before. And something in me, there was something of an awe that I experienced that was absolutely, absolutely otherworldly. It was something like I experienced something of an awe that I'd never experienced before. But I also experienced, along with that, the presence of the Lord, an intense peace that was just percolating inside of me in an intense way. And as I looked and beheld, you know, someone has said that even atheists that look up at the sky, a sky like that, you know, and they and stand in awe, they're offering involuntary praise. We get to offer praise not involuntarily but freely. As Corey read this morning, we get to praise over and over and over again. Okay, this is it. Psalm 147, verse 10 and 11. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor is his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their trust in his unfailing love. I want to talk to you about the fear of the Lord. It sounds like a funny subject that I kind of wrestled with. I said, Lord, what is this about? You know, the fear of the Lord. But listen to this. It says his pleasure is not in the strength of a horse. You know, we are all about getting work out of people. We're all about productivity. We're all about getting the most mileage out of situations and things. But the Lord says, I take no pleasure in the strength of a horse, nor do I delight in the legs of a man or the biceps of a man. But the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their trust in his unfailing love. You know, the Lord just loves trust. When Becky was in her accident, and we found out that we might not be insured. And at one point, you know, we thought we're going to lose everything. You know, the guy who hit her, you know, and is suing, and we could lose our house. We could lose everything. You know, it was a really scary time. We hired a lawyer and we went through this time. And I tell you, it was an intense time of leaning into the Lord and having to trust. But one of the beautiful things the Lord did for me, this is it. I had the answer on my answering machine that it was all done. For one week, I did not know that it was all done, but my answering machine knew. My answering machine on my phone had the message saying it's settled. The insurance company's paying it. There's no problem here. But for one final week, I had to trust. And you see, God really likes putting us in places like that. I think he just delights in that. One time faced with a difficult situation, I saw the face of a man, and as soon as I saw his face, I was reminded of something I had said to him years before, and I needed to hear that again, and it was about trust. I was in a difficult situation. He had been in a difficult situation. I spoke to him when I saw his face. I was reminded to trust. I was reminded to trust. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We've got to get this. Just stick with me, because I'm going to give you a few stories. It's going to help. We're going to get into this a little bit. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I want to tell you about an awful time in the Czech Republic, an awful time. We use the word awful or awesome, you know, but awful, you know, is an interesting word. And I climbed, you know, I came back from a trail walk up the highest mountain in the Czech Republic, but it was on this beautiful windy path, you know, with all the tourists, you know, and I came back to the village I was in, and this young Czech man, he said to me, he said, oh, you like climbing? I said, oh, I love climbing. And he took me out to a rock face that went straight up like this. And he said, I grew up here. I climbed this thing all my life. I climbed it. So I went up with him. I started going up with him. We came to a point where we had to let go here and cross over here. You know, and he went back and forth to try to show me how to hold on. Val's on the bottom and she's praying. And I'm on the top or on the way up to the top. And I'm thinking, if I fall, I'm not going to hurt myself. These bones are not going to break. They're going to shatter. And I'm not making this up. This is absolutely true. By the time I reached the top of this face, and there wasn't much area on the top where we sat. And I remember taking pictures, but I don't remember the scenery because I was too busy thinking that they're going to need a helicopter to take me off of this. And I'm not making this up. It's funny, but I'm not making it up because I was gripped with fear. I understood a fear that was palatable, one that I'd never experienced before to that degree. And I was up there thinking they'll need a helicopter. And somehow or other, one foot, one hand after another, I began to go down the side of the face cliff. And it was actually easier going down than it was going up. There's that story. Peter, listen to this. In Luke chapter 5, after the Lord said, go out and cast your nets, and he said, but Lord, we fished all night. We haven't even got one fish. But nevertheless, because you say so, they went out. You remember that? The nets were breaking. The best thing I can do for that, we're at 8 minutes and 58 seconds. The best thing I could do is to send you to the Chosen, and you can look up the clip with Peter and the fish. You got to see the clip of Peter, and maybe I'll send the clip out. Peter and the fish. But you know the reaction of Peter? He said this, he said to Jesus, he said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. That was his reaction to this incredible miracle. It says, astonishment seized him. Another translation says, amazement accompanied him. Isn't that something? How about being accompanied by amazement? You know, Peter's being accompanied by amazement. John on the island of Patmos, I can't get into that. Psalm 30, seeing his best friend, you know, John the beloved. You know, he didn't say, hey, buddy. People who say the man upstairs or my good friend or whatever like that, they don't understand the fear of the Lord, not to the degree the scripture teaches it. Let the whole world fear him, the psalmist said, and let everyone stand in awe of him. When I was in YWAM, it began to hail outside, and they depended on their gardens. The gardens were filled with vegetables that fed the whole YWAM base, and they depended on them. And this hail was coming down the size of golf balls, and it was going to destroy, wipe out in moments, an entire garden, a huge garment. And Uli Kors, the director of Youth of the Mission, stood up, and he took authority over that in Jesus' name. And I saw before my very eyes though that hail stop. I've never seen anything so miraculous and so instantaneously happen before my eyes as that. And you think you got a happy story to tell. There was a sense of fear in the room. There was a sense of awe. We were struck with something very powerful. Moses said to the people, he said this, after the thundering and the lightning and all the experience the people had at the foot of the mountain when the Ten Commandments were being given and they were full of fear. And it says this, they said to Moses, speak to us and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. And Moses said to them, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be in you to keep you from sinning. This is powerful, that the fear of God might be in you to keep you from sinning. Proverbs 2:19 scared me as a young person, but it kept me. As a young person, I read Proverbs 2, verse 19, and it put something inside of me of the fear of God. And it says simply this. I'll give you just the bottom line of it. It's talking about the prostitute going down the road and looking for someone. And then it says, for her house sinks down to death and her tracks lead to the dead. But this is the part that struck me and the part that entered, you know, caused the fear of the Lord to come upon me. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. None who go to her return again or attain the paths of life. And I understood that to mean not that I wouldn't be forgiven, not that there wasn't grace and the grace of God is powerful, but that I would not attain again those paths and the height that I had gained, or I would not go any further. And we see it in the Bible. David was not the same man after Bathsheba. And we see it over and over in the Bible. He, you know, yes, God showed mercy and grace, but the fear of God keeps us from sinning. Job said, and to man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. There's so many scriptures. Psalm 19:9, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. Isn't that beautiful? And then this is entitled A Eulogy to a Godly Man in my Bible, and it's Psalm 112:1. It says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. He fears the Lord and he finds great delight in his commands. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That was Jesus' food, to finish the work. Jesus explained this, and another translation says, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God and from finishing his work. Psalm 19:8 says, the precepts, the commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. Jesus found joy in pleasing his Father. He found joy in doing the works that the Father had given him, and so do we. An example of a precept is the 8th commandment, thou shalt not steal. How many of you are glad that most people that you hang around with are guided by this principle? You know, that most people, you know, and, you know, our friend from South Africa, Grant, we went out for coffee in Stittsville, and we sat at the window in the coffee shop and his bike was outside. He said, in South Africa, we could not leave our bikes unattended, unlocked. You know, they would be stolen. They would be stolen, but it was safe there. A precept or a commandment is intended as an authoritative rule for action. This is important. The commands of God are not suggestions. He's not suggesting us, you know, to do things. These are not resolutions that we just get to break, you know. I'm not going to smoke so many cigars this year. You know, that's not what it's about. It's not a suggestion. Psalm 119:16, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And then Proverbs 129 says, they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. I was on my couch. I was kneeling at the couch. I remember prayer places really well. This was back in the 80s. This is when I met Valerie, and we weren't even engaged yet. And I'm praying. I remember the pattern on the couch. I remember I was all alone at home kneeling down. I remember the pattern on the couch. And I heard the Lord say this. He said, she is my daughter. That's what I remember. And then he said, and you better not forget it. Now he didn't really say that. I heard the first part, she is my daughter, but in my spirit, I heard the latter part and you better not forget it, you know? So the fear of the Lord, the Bible says they did not choose the fear of the Lord. We need to choose the fear of the Lord. Over and over again, we choose the fear of the Lord. And then this, the friendship of the Lord, this is so beautiful. This is the icing on the cake with the last 10 seconds. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. Another translation says, there's a private place reserved for the lovers of God, where they sit near to him and receive the revelation secrets of his promises. So here it is in conclusion. Choose the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord goes hand in hand with trust. The fear of the Lord will keep you from sinning. The fear of the Lord will cause you to delight in the commands of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord brings friendship with God, and we get to sit near him and receive from him. Amen. Happy New Year.